This week on It's So Bad, Chris wanted to do a Godzilla game, and I didn't want to play through a whole Godzilla game, so we compromised and we played Rampage for the arcade and the Nintendo Entertainment System, as well as a million other ports this week on It's So Bad.
To
the podcast. You can subscribe, if you didn't know, to this podcast. It's on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify, as well as other podcasting services as well.
Sure is.
We are adding this week a game starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's not actually starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but we're adding Rampage to the Endless List. And what is the Endless List? It is a list of currently 41 games. Yes, 41 games goes all the way from Super Mario 64 to number 41, Pro Wrestling for the Sega Master System. Last week we added Deja Vu for the Macintosh and the Nintendo Entertainment System. And this week we're adding Rampage. The list is based upon, what values would you say this list is based upon?
Oh, historical significance, graphics, sound, innovation, gameplay.
Everything.
Yeah, you know, just it's if we're gonna do a list about every game ever made, we gotta weigh in every aspect of those games.
Yes, our list will eventually comprise every game.
Yeah, I think this game though, really, we should also always consider with all these games going forward, how well would they be translated to a movie that starred Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Oh yes, that is a very important metric that we should consider going forward. But what is this game?
Well, let me give a little context first, something you said at the beginning. So I asked Mike about doing Godzilla Destroy All Monsters Melee for the GameCube or Godzilla Saves the Earth, which was PS2 and Xbox 360. Very good fighting games. They were very popular fighting games. Both of them were big hits. The other Godzilla games came out afterwards, weren't as good, but Mike didn't want to do it.
No.
So we're doing Rampage. So what is Rampage? It is an arcade and multi-port classic that has stand-ins for Godzilla, King Kong, and the Wolfman in the form of Lizzie, George, and Ralph.
Can I just say, you mentioned that it was ported to a lot of places.
Yeah, you know, it's...
It's an arcade game originally.
Yep.
So let's talk about where it was ported to right off the start. So originally this game came out in 1986 in the arcade. Came out in 1988 for the NES, which is probably one of its most popular releases. But then it also came out for the Master System.
Here we go.
The Lynx, the Amstrad CPC, the CX Spectrum, the Commodore 64, the Amiga, the Atari ST, the Atari 2600, the Atari 7800, the IBM PC. Also available on the Arcade Party Pack for the PlayStation. Midway Arcade Treasures for the PS2, GameCube, and Xbox. Midway Arcade Treasures Extended Play for the PSP. Was featured in a bonus on Rampage Total Destruction for the GameCube, PS2, and Wii. Included on Midway Arcade Origins for PS3, Xbox 360. Also unlockable within LEGO Dimensions. ported to iOS and via the Midway app as well.
Yep.
So that is a lot of ports. Yep. That is a lot of fucking ports.
And when the movie was coming out, they put both the classic arcade version and the one with the updated sprites on like the Rampage website.
Oh, really?
As a web-based game you can play. So everything. It's been ported to everything.
Everything. So it's a city-destroying action arcade game heavily inspired by Donkey Kong, but also Godzilla, King Kong, and Kaiju in general.
Mm-hmm.
What's your history with this game?
Well, it's funny, in the Deja Vu episode, we talked about how, like, you know, I do have an interest in, like, old-time radio shows or whatever, but, like, right. Well, I do have a lot of varied geeky interests, including wrestling.
Your biggest one is...
My biggest one is Godzilla, without a doubt. And I'm excited to finally have an opportunity to kind of bring that interest in here. Everyone who's probably listened to this podcast thinks I'm, like, a big pro wrestling nerd, but I am a giant
yes.
Godzilla and Kaiju-related nerd. Yes. So my history with this game goes back to when I was a young kid being obsessed with Godzilla in elementary school and then, seeing this game with stand-ins for Godzilla and Kong fighting on the cover art, I immediately wanted to have this game. I got it. I mean, it was probably already out. What year did it get ported to the NES?
88.
So I wasn't into Godzilla yet because I was 4. So I was too young to really be into anything.
Yeah.
But I got it some years later. But still a child. Still a kid. Yeah. I got it.
I had it for the NES too back in the day.
Yeah. And God, I played the shit out of this game.
I played the shit out of it as well. For me, I remember playing this game for like hours and getting super fucking far. And I remember this specifically, and then the NES stopped working.
Did you ever actually beat this game?
No.
So I still remember the day I woke up one morning when I was a kid, and I said, I am going to beat this game. It's I forget how many levels it actually is. It's like 138 or something like that. It's around like 140, 150 levels.
I have the number. I have the number 128.
128, okay. So spoilers, when you beat the game...
The NES version.
The NES version, because I think the other ones just repeat.
Yeah.
You get a awesome ending that's just a black screen that says game over. And awesome. I remember, I think it took me 3.5 hours to beat it when I was a kid. I remember this, like, vividly, because it was my first time, like, really being disappointed by, like, a video game ending, and it just stuck in my head. I was like, getting the game over. I remember going... Well, that sucked.
So this game is pretty unique. You are a monster and you're destroying skyscrapers. But there are other games like it. I would say Zombie Nation for the NES, which is kind of a shooter, is kind of like it. There's also many Godzilla games. What Godzilla games would you say is like this game?
Well, there were some Godzilla games on the Atari that... I actually don't really think they're similar to that.
But there's like a PS4 game that just came out that's
I was more thinking from like the time, because there are two Godzilla games on the NES. One's like a side-scrolling space action adventure, which is pretty fun.
One's like a tactical game, isn't it?
The other one's like an RTS
It's weird.
Problematic, but...
I kind of want to play that game real bad, actually.
It's
only Japanese, though, right?
No, Godzilla 2 was only released in America.
Oh,
it was actually it's weird. It was originally supposed to be a Rodan game, but they rebranded it.
We will play those games,
but anyway, we'll get there. But so, yeah, I guess Rampage is actually probably more similar to the games I originally wanted to do for this episode, with Godzilla Destroy All Monsters Melee and Godzilla Saves the Earth, and then there was Godzilla Unleashed, where it's in the sense that like those are kind of fighting games where you're destroying the city. The PS4 one that came out is like tries to be like. It tries to be like Destroy All Monsters Melee if it was more of a Godzilla movie simulator than a fighting game, which mixed results, but
yeah. There was like a lot of downloadable content on that, wasn't there? On one of those. No? Yeah.
No. There was like, so the PS3 version, you could only play as Godzilla, and then they released it for the PS4, and then like you could play as every other monster that was in it. The only DLC was you got to play as Legendary Godzilla from the...
Ooh.
But, that was like the only real thing.
There's
unlockables though. Lots of unlockables.
There's also King of the Monsters, the
Neo Geo game. Yep, the Super Nintendo ones. Those are fun fighting games.
Yeah, those are fun. So why are we adding this? We said at the top, generally, because we compromised on this. but developer for this, Bally Midway. The publisher for the arcade was Bally Midway. Data East for the NES version. It was designed by two gentlemen by the name of Brian Collin and Jeff Nauman. Developed actually by 5 people.
Yep.
So Brian, Jeff, and then Sharon Perry did the art, Jim Belt did the game testing, and Mark Bartlow did the music. That's it. 5 people. I guess what I was reading about the development of this game, because there was a lot of, there's been a lot of articles written about it because it was transformed into a movie last year, I think it was. And with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, as we've said a couple times. But they did a lot of interviews with the people who made the game, and they were saying that this game, originally when they pitched it, flopped hard.
I'm glad we're getting into this. It has an interesting development history.
And then I guess the ownership of Bally Midway changed in the midway of them developing the pitch. And when it changed, they pressed the green light on it hard. And they're like, we want you to make this game because it's different. It was a very struggle for them to get it through the door. Brian Collin also worked on Xenophobe, Arch Rivals, Pigskin 621 AD. Do you remember that game?
No.
It was kind of like Mutant League Football.
Yes, it did. Wait, didn't one of these guys do General Chaos too?
Yeah, also General Chaos.
Oh, I love General Chaos.
You did? I don't remember that game. Also, Rampage World Tour he'd go on to make. And I don't know if you remember this, but there was a big like arcade light gun game for Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, yeah.
He made that game.
Varied resume there.
Yeah, super weird. That just the fact that that game was made is super weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, big arcade style Star Trek Voyager game. Weird. It was like Borg Invasion, I remember.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Brian Cullen was also inducted into the White Castle Hall of Fame.
Like the fast food chain?
Yes. For some reason?
They have a Hall of Fame?
Yes. I don't understand what that means, but supposedly this is something that happens.
Okay.
The idea of the game was to make a game that wasn't like, here's an objective, go to it.
Right.
Save the princess, or do X, Y, and Z, or go to the end of this maze. It's an open game. You're supposed to just destroy the skyscrapers. And the only reason why it's kaiju, I guess, or like big monsters, is because the only thing that could move in the background were rectangles.
Oh, right.
Technically.
Yeah, right. Right.
So they needed to make rectangles fall and move down off screen, and they made the dust at the bottom hide the janky glitchiness of the moving of the buildings down the bottom. But yeah, so this is it's interesting. I mean, they changed specifically. They didn't want to, at this time, high scores were like the thing. Everybody wanted to just get high scores on games, mm-hmm. So you made a game to get a high score. It's like the objective. There wasn't even really like save the princess type stuff. It was just mainly high score. They didn't want to do that. They just wanted you to have a playground and play within it. And that's what they tried to create with this game. It was very different at the time.
Yeah, this is like, and I heard like one of the owners say this too, like it, one of the creators, I mean, say this as well. I don't remember which one it was, but like the game is really unique in the sense that like for as simple as a concept of the game is, like it is simultaneously a co-op game and a fighting game at the same time.
Yeah. And I mean, generally, when I play this game, I don't fight with my opponent. But if I could see myself at an arcade being like, yeah,
screw you. Sometimes, like, you know, I guess to kind of discuss the gameplay, like, the idea is that, like, the monsters are, you have to go up the sides of the building. You have to punch holes in every section of the building until it falls.
Right.
So you can get to the top of the building. Like, there's power-ups in the windows. You can open them, eat them, whatever.
There's also bad things. So there's cigarettes. And if you eat the cigarettes, you lose health. And you have a health bar.
There's a toilet.
There's a toilet. If you eat the toilet, there's a toaster.
Sometimes there's a guy on the toilet. You can eat the guy on the toilet, but you can't eat the toilet.
Yes. There's also a toaster, and sometimes there's toast that pops up on the toaster. And if you eat the toast, then you're okay. But if you eat the toaster, you electrocute yourself.
Yep. There's a little. Sometimes they have like little like neon signs hanging off the side.
And you can't hit them.
Yeah, you get electrocuted.
There's a guy with a camera who if he photographs, he blinds you and you fall off the side of the building.
But whatever I was getting to with that was like one of the really like you need to clear all the buildings. Like there's no really. Other than, like, just kind of being an asshole, like, there's not really an incentive to, like, fight the other monster, but, like, sometimes it's just really hard to resist, like, your friend being on top of, like, a really tall building and you jumping and punching them off and watching them fall the entire screen.
I will say one of the best sound effects on the NES is punching a guy. It's like, boo-doo-doo. It's so good. I love that sound effect. It's really good. Yeah, you are one of three monsters, Lizzie the Lizard, George the Gorilla, or Ralph the Wolf. I don't know if you know this, but if you play the arcade version, you see the human versions of George, Lizzie, and Ralph, and they are portrayed by Brian Cullen, Brian Cullen's wife, and also the Jeff Nauman is Ralph.
Yeah, a lot of the ports had those graphics, but the NES one actually has them in the data files, but didn't use them.
Weird. Yeah. The Lynx version had Larry the Giant Rat.
Who would come back later.
Yeah, then the NES version did not have Ralph. I think it was like a space limitation. They couldn't include him on there.
Yeah,
which, it's funny odd. because the creatures are just a palette swap with the heads changed.
Right.
They're the exact same thing. They move in the exact same way. They have no specialties. They're just heads.
Palette swapped the bodies?
Yes, the bodies are palette swapped and the heads are changed.
Hmm.
So yeah, and you play through 128 days of blowing up cities across the U.S. I find it interesting, if you go to a big city, there's a lot of buildings, and if you're in a small city, there's like a couple buildings.
Yeah.
And they're like short, and it's varied like that. It's interesting. And there's like unique features, like some of the towns have trains that you can punch back and forth at each other if you play two players.
Yeah, the military stuff gets a little bit more advanced. Like,
yeah, like the tank will come out and roll on the screen and be like super intimidating.
You get the storm cloud occasionally come shooting lightning down. Yeah. You get a blimp every now and then.
Yep. It's cool. It's a very unique game for the time. Mm. It's very interesting. I loved the game back in the day. It's super fun. It's just you play it so much you get bored with it because there's so much of the game. And there's not a lot of point in it
point. Before we get too far off, I wanted to just touch on something again with the development. Did you know that at some point there was like a push to swap out Lizzie, George, and Ralph with the creature from the Black Lagoon? Who was the... supposed to be for Dracula and the Wolfman, because they wanted to do a partnership with Universal and get Universal licenses because they thought it would sell more.
I did not
if
know
you
that.
Swapped if they got those licenses in, but that didn't really go anywhere.
Why would there be giant versions of Dracula?
Yeah, I wonder, like, that's what I was like, the Dracula one I didn't really understand, but I think there was like from what I was reading, it was like supposed to be like perhaps some sort of story element that involved Dracula, but...
So what is the story, Chris? Do you know the story?
I feel like it's like been kind of retroactively expanded, but essentially, I think... I don't know if the lab is named in this old game, but essentially, retroactively, they named like this lab Scum Labs, that they've created some sort of like radioactive chemical or formula, and essentially these three random people get exposed to it, and it causes them to mutate into giant, either George becomes a giant ape, Lizzie becomes a giant lizard, and Ralph becomes a giant werewolf.
Isn't Ralph already a wolf? I'm pretty sure he's just a wolf.
No, because doesn't he turn into...
He turns into a dog, I think.
Oh. I remember that.
And I think one of them eats like a mutated sandwich or something.
Oh, yeah. I think like one. Yeah. Lizzie, I think, gets it from like a lake. She falls in like some contaminated water or something. Yeah. So
it's a fun game. It's cool to play. All right. So you play it for a little while and you're like, oh, this is cool. And then you just kind of like, after a little while, it peters out because it's like, it becomes the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like work.
It's repetitive arcade game.
It's 128 screens.
Yeah.
It's a lot to clear of buildings. So in the arcade version, you have 128 screens and that loops five times and then it goes to back to the beginning.
Right. This is a game that would be, I think it would be such a drastically different game in quality if like you had like a few random boss levels in this game. I think like just to break it up a little bit.
Yeah, it might be that might be good. I'm trying to think what else would be good. Maybe if they had like just like a showdown with the military would be good to break it up. But yeah, something to break it up would be really good.
Yeah.
Like fighting a car in Street Fighter 2. Yes.
You know, because like even like when like the military gets a little bit more advanced or like even like when like the new item starts like to appear like the later levels, it's, you know, you're like depending on... I think pretty much every version you're playing, like you pretty much have unlimited continues anyway. Like you're never you're never gonna like be done with the game.
Right.
Like the only thing that goes away is your high score.
Yep. It's fun. I enjoy it. I greatly enjoy the game. I think it's very different for the time period and it's super interesting. It's fun to play for like an hour, and then it just gets tedious. But
it's definitely very fun to play with two people.
Super fun.
When you do start to like, you eventually just start fighting with each other, and that is tons of fun.
Boo, boo, boo. Yeah.
Because, like, again, like, you don't have any, like, real permanent death. You can always kind of keep coming back, so.
Exactly. That's good. So, they made a movie about it, 2018, with The Rock. It made $428 million worldwide.
Yeah, it was a sleeper hit.
It is hit. The fourth highest grossing video game of all time, video game movie of all time.
Is
can
it
you
really?
Name, can you name the other three?
The highest grossing video game movies? Yeah. Super Mario probably has to be one, right? For as shitty as it was? No.
Wrong answer.
No.
You probably, one of them is easy, I think. It's Pokemon. Number one is Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
Oh, okay.
Number two is Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Okay.
From 2001.
Yeah.
And number three, the Angry Birds movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So those are the four with Rampage number four. Brian Cullen, the creator of this game, was a cameo in the movie.
Was he?
He's running away from George at one point.
Yeah. I didn't, we were talking about this off mic, but I didn't really enjoy the movie that much.
I thought it was a glorious romp. I have this thing that I like to call Saturday afternoon movies.
Yeah.
It's like a genre in my brain that are just movies that if you have like a random Saturday or Sunday and you are just dicking around the house and you just want to relax, just throw on the cable, the tube, and whatever's on there, you watch. Like, for example, there a recent good Saturday afternoon movie for me is Office Christmas Party. Love that movie for a Saturday afternoon movie. Not going to sit down on a Friday night and watch it, but if it's on, sure, I'll watch it.
Okay.
Rampage is the same thing. Him flipping off the Rock at the end after he dies is a great scene.
The Rock was actually the most annoying thing in the movie to me.
Oh my God. He's like, there's like a giant lizard monster or wolf chasing him, and he's just like, I'm going to take this rocket launcher, and I'm going to jump in this Jeep, and I'm going to go kill it.
That stuff didn't bother me. That all that super campy stuff, I'm totally on board with. It was just like the way the Rock talks in the movie is just like everything that I can't stand about The Rock. Ugh. It's just, ugh.
What can't you stand about The Rock?
It's just like, he has like a promo style that he's kind of developed now that like he makes like these cameos where it's just like, I can't even like describe.
Have you seen Jumanji?
No.
Because I feel like they lean into that so hard.
He's just got like this like super like fast talking, like, I was like, hey, it's my buddy George. George, what's going on? Hey. Oh, that's great, George. Flip me off. Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, really funny, George. And, like, and he just hammers it.
I love it.
And I can't stand that.
I love it so much. I also love Jumanji, the most recent one. It's good. It's a good Saturday afternoon movie.
But, you know, it was, you know, the character designs were cool. I mean, obviously they weren't going to make Lizzie a Godzilla clone in light of what's going on with the Legendary series, right. But Ralph was cool, and you know, it was probably smart to make George more like an albino gorilla.
Separate him from King Kong.
King Kong, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. That's part of the legacy of this game. Did you also know that Wreck-It Ralph is named after Ralph from Rampage?
I did not know that.
So in Wreck-It Ralph, Ralph wrecks buildings, and Fix-It Felix's job is to fix the building.
Oh, okay.
And you climb up the side of Wreck-It Ralph climbs up the side of the building and wrecks the building.
Oh.
And yes, so Ralph is named after Ralph from Rampage. Part of the legacy.
Speaking of Ralph, you know, as we mentioned earlier, like he's missing from the NES port.
Yes.
But Walmart just, I think it's Walmart. It's either Walmart or Target, I forget which one. But they released like a tabletop, or not a tabletop, like a little one of those like little like mini arcade.
It's the NES port, but it has Ralph in
it? Yeah, it's the NES port, but they added Ralph into it.
I think I read
it.
That. That's weird, right?
So I kind of want to get one just for like how quirky that is.
That's weird. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff with the NES currently that's really super weird. Like, you know all those plug-and-play games that they made? Like, there's a SpongeBob SquarePants one.
Yeah.
And there's, like, whatever. All these different plug-and-play things. Those are all just NES emulators that they made program NES ROMs.
Right.
And they just uploaded them to the emulator, and they put those in the plug-and-play games. So there's a bunch of, like, unknown NES games that are for... They're specifically made for plug-and-play games.
Yeah, I think I have some like in a bootleg cart that I have.
It's really weird.
But yeah, but anyway.
Tangents. Other parts of this game's legacy. There's been six Rampage games made after this. probably most well known is World Tour, which came out on like PlayStation and N64.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of other ones too. There was one like, made in like 2017 even.
Total Destruction or something like that. Yeah. Like I have World Tour. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, World Tour is funny. I just don't like the art style. I don't think it's aged very well.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I would also say that this game is kind of one of the steps along the way to make games more open-ended. So you are not, you're given a task, but how you get there is up to you, really. And that's kind of like a very small step, and that's part of this game's legacy in making it really more of an immersive experience for the player. But yes, we come to the point. Where does this game go on our list?
You know, it's a fun game. It's a deceptively addictive game for how simple it is. I think it,
Can I just say a couple of factoids before
sure.
we really get into it?
Sure.
So, all right. This is our, I got it wrong the last time. This is our 13th NES game that we're adding to this. And what else do we have? It was an arcade game, so.
But I feel like for ranking purposes, like we should probably view this as like the arcade game as like the most.
Yeah,
it's readily available, most complete version of the game, obviously. So
I think we can include both. I don't think there's a very big difference between the NES and the arcade version.
Yeah.
So this is our eighth. This will be our eighth arcade game as well, added to the list. And for games from 1986, it is our seventh game from 1986, added to the list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, looking at our ever-growing endless list here.
42nd game added to our list. It goes from number 1 Super Mario 64 to number 41 Pro Wrestling. You can find our full endless list. It'll be linked in the podcast description, and it's also available on our Medium page, the It's So Bad Medium page.
The Master System Pro Wrestling, to be clear there.
Master System Pro Wrestling is number 41.
Yeah. Woof. All right, so I'm not saying this is where I'm leaning towards, but
I will say, can I just say, just to highlight this? So
yeah,
I don't think it goes higher than a similar arcade, not a similar, but another arcade game. I don't think it goes higher than Crazy Taxi for me.
Where's that?
Number 28 on the list is Crazy 28. Taxi.
I was going to go a little higher than that. I was going to say it wouldn't go higher than like River City Ransom for me, which is like 23.
I really like,
but I'm not saying that's where it's. That, I'm just saying that's my ceiling, and I'm like looking below that to see where it's gonna go.
I like Spider-Man 2 better than this game, and I think Spider-Man 2 does a lot more in terms of innovation, for example. So that's why I think I just like to play Crazy Taxi more as well, and I think again Crazy Taxi was an open world game before Grand Theft Auto even was an open world game.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do less, obviously, in Crazy Taxi.
I didn't play Hexen, which is 29, but I feel like it's very comparable to number 30, Tapper.
Yeah, and I think that I really like Tapper, and it gets you into a flow state, and it's a great game. I think that Rampage is similarly as enjoyable, but more influential and more popular.
Yeah, and I think just the, like I said earlier, like the fact that like it can be both a fighting game and a co-op game simultaneously, right. I think gives a little edge above Tapper.
I would put it above Hexen too, because Hexen's, while it's a decent game and it's interesting, it's not like doesn't have a legacy like Rampage does.
Well, it sounds like we're in agreement that Rampage is the 29th greatest game of all time.
Let's do that.
Oh, well.
Science. We're really doing it this time.
We got there.
We do a pretty good job of ranking. Let's pat ourselves on the back.
I know. I feel like the early episodes, I feel like we were like, we'd fight these things out. And I feel like lately we've pretty much been on the same page with a lot of these.
Yes, I think so too.
I think we had, what was one we had quite the debate about? I think it was,
I got mad at you about one, how high you wanted to put it.
Which one was that?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember. It was
Dragon Warrior Dragon Quest. It went higher than I wanted to go. But
was it that?
Was
it River City Ransom? River City Ransom, we had a bloodbath.
We've re-ranked that as well a couple times. this is just so everybody's clear here. This list is fluid.
It is.
So
ever-evolving.
As influence evolves and as gaming changes, and as tastes change, the list will change. nothing is ever set in stone. While it is today, for the present, the number...
It's a spongy stone.
29th best game of all time, Rampage. There are plenty of games that will go above it. There are plenty of games that will go below it. And it
thousands,
itself...
Thousands of them both. Both ends.
It itself will go up and down. So, our new number 29 best game of all time, Rampage. We're adding it to our endless list here on It's So Bad.
Yeah, done deal right there.
And I want to thank you for sciencing the shit out of this, yeah. Chris.
Yeah, anytime.
You can follow our podcast at the iTunes. It's So Bad, or the Spotify, or the Google Play. You can subscribe. We would like that. You can also review and rank it. You can review and rate it if you want. I guess that helps. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Every podcast I listen to says it helps. So.
So obviously, do it. Review and rate it, I guess. Also, follow us on Twitter, because that hurts. That soothes my ego that people will follow us when they listen to us. At It's So Bad, and I will tweet out cool things like Mario Maker levels. There was a New Japan Wrestling
I saw that.
Wrestle Kingdom level that I really enjoyed.
I saw that.
That I tweeted out recently. So it's so at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. You can also email us itssobadpod@gmail.com. And we will be back next week with another episode. And I believe that episode will be an episode. I think it's going to be Theme Hospital, but it also may be Jurassic Park Trespasser. And I'm going to leave it at that. Well, we don't know which
one. That's a big market tease right there, is what that is.
Big market tease. We'll be back next week here on It's So Bad. Thanks, Chris.
See ya.
Not even a dad, and you're making dad jokes.
Oh, I did this to an admin at work like about a year ago. I sent her an email, but she was like brand new. I sent her an email. I was like, do you hear music coming from the printer? And she came running by my desk. She's like, I just went to the printer, I didn't hear anything. I was like, oh, you didn't hear the music? The paper must be jamming. She's like, oh. And I was like, welcome to the division.